United Nations inspectors say they have convincing evidence that chemical weapons were used in a large-scale attack in Syria last month. In a report released earlier today, the inspectors said the samples they collected from an area of Damascus provided what they called clear and convincing evidence that the nerve agent sarin was used. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon presented that information to the Security Council this morning. The inspectors were not charged with determining whether the government or the rebel troops launched those chemical weapons. This news follows close on the heels of this weekend's announcement that Russia, the U.S., and Syria have reached agreement on a framework for Syria to dismantle its chemical weapons stockpile. The U.S. and its allies say military force is still a possibility if Syria fails to follow through on this agreement. Meanwhile, the war does continue. Borzu Dargahi's been covering events in the Middle East for the Financial Times. I caught up with him in Cairo, Egypt, where he's based, and I asked him how other Middle Eastern countries have been reacting to this weekend's announcement.
Well, I think that among people in the Arab world, many people were somewhat relieved that there's going to not going to be yet another war in the Middle East led by the U.S. I think there are people relieved about that. Yet, I think that, you know, for those who are sympathetic to the cause of the Syrian rebels, there was some hope that the U.S. could intervene and shift the balance of power. That said, because the U.S. was so narrowly focused on this issue of chemicals, of weapons of mass destruction and chemical weapons, there was not as much enthusiasm for this as there might have been if the goal was to dislodge or weaken Bashar al-Assad.
I've noticed that in particular, the reaction from the generals of the Free Syrian Army, their reaction was dismay, to say the very least.
Yeah, among the Syrian opposition and the Syrian rebels, many of them had put their ground forces in position to try to take advantage of any kind of airstrikes. They had been, according to my sources, working with Western intelligence in terms of finding targets to hit. They were bringing troops in, bringing forces in from various border countries in order to launch an offensive that would coincide with any kind of airstrikes. And so, yeah, it's a big tactical defeat for them, for there not to be any airstrikes, and very, very disappointing psychologically, a big blow for the morale of the Syrian opposition.
You report that Assad has portrayed his agreement to dismantle his chemical weapons as a victory for Syria.
Yeah, you know, in fact, he has repeatedly depicted it as this grand victory for the Syrian regime. It and its Russian allies to outmaneuver Barack Obama and prevent yet another war in the region. This has been going, this kind of bluster has been, even arrogance on the part of Bashar al-Assad in terms of describing how he managed to outwit Obama. But I think that, this is basically just propaganda. I don't give it a lot of credibility myself.
At the same time that he's portraying himself as the victor here, the Western allies of the United States, in particular France and Britain, are insisting that Assad keep to this set of very strict deadlines for both signing on to the weapons agreement and then presenting these weapons. Other people are worried that he's using time to play to shift his stores of weaponry out of Syria itself.
Well, I don't think that there's so many satellites and drones up in the air. I don't think he's going to be able to shift the chemical weapons out of the country. I've heard those reports. I've not seen any evidence to that effect. But, the fact that Bashar al-Assad agreed to this. This is an arsenal of weapons that he and his father built up over 4.5 decades. The fact that he agreed to just give them up like that when the U.S. Sent a few warships off his coast gives you a suggestion about his relative strength or weakness. This is a major strategic loss for Syria and for its partner, Iran. These chemical weapons were probably one consideration in terms of Israel's maneuvers in the Middle East. And now this worry is going to be gone. If Syria agrees to this and removes these chemical weapons, it will become much more of a military paper tiger than it was even before this war had begun.
And just a last question has to do with the continuing flow of Syrian refugees to neighboring countries. And I understand Sweden over the weekend said that they would just open open their doors. How is that outflow from Syria playing out in the Middle East itself?
It's very devastating in many respects. It's really changing, especially for a country like Lebanon, the southeast of Turkey, lesser extent in Jordan. But, it's really changing the sort of character of some of these cities and areas. You have a lot of troubles right now in Egypt, where I live, between Syrian refugees who are here and local Egyptians who view them as supportive of al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood. And so there's been a lot of ugly incidents directed towards Syrian refugees. I think it taxes the economic and the infrastructure resources of these already rather weak countries.
That's Borzu Dargahi, Middle East correspondent for the Financial Times, based in Cairo, Egypt. I spoke with him earlier today. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.